What's up, everybody? Kevin Wagstaff here from Spectora. Today we have Joe Billings on the podcast. Great guy, longtime Spectora user. Gives us his takes on a lot of different areas of the industry. I think you'll enjoy it. Experienced inspector, multi-inspector firm down in Florida. So here we go with Joe Billings. Thanks.
I'm doing good. Good to be here.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's beautiful down there like always.
It's been a little rainy today, but I mean, it's still hot and we get sun every once in a while, even though we have rain, so it stays good.
Right. Yeah. How's busy season been treating you?
It's actually been a weird year so far. I mean, we've stayed steady, but there's some days where we've had some up and down, a lot of cancellations because we have a really flooded market for inspectors down here.
No kidding. Interesting. Which I want to dive into. I find the modern dynamics pretty fascinating with the number of inspectors getting into the industry.
Right.
But first, yeah, for those out there that don't know you, tell us a little bit about your journey and kind of your story to get where you're at today.
Well, our company started by my parents back in early 2000s. It was just my father, and then my mother came over and started helping him.
Oh, wow.
And then they ran the business pretty much themselves because my father actually stepped away from, he was in contracting his whole life. So he stepped away mm-hmm. from a multi-million dollar contracting company to start his own business. So it was just him and my mother by themselves because none of the kids or anybody lived in Florida because we're originally from Baltimore. Mm-hmm. So they started the business. They worked it pretty much all the way up until my family moved down right around 2013, 2014. And that's right where the point was where they were just doing so much volume and business that they couldn't handle it themselves. So I left a business. I was a service manager in Baltimore for a transport refrigeration company. They mm-hmm. gave me the opportunity to move down here. So I decided to move my family and everybody. We moved down here. And that's where we started from there. I got my license. I've had it probably since 2014 now. So that's pretty much where it started with all that.
So your parents weathered the recession.
Yes. This was their sole income through the recession and everything was the home inspection business.
Wow. How did they get through it? Did they have any insights or thoughts from it?
I mean, they stayed pretty busy. I mean, they had good relationships with realtors, which I guess is what pretty much helped them. And I mean, Florida's always had a good real estate market because people are always moving to Florida, especially South Florida, just because of the weather.
Right.
So that's a benefit. Even people, it's not necessarily people from the U.S. There's a lot of people from other countries that are moving just to buy houses in South Florida. They only come over once in a while for. So that's one benefit that probably kept them going through the recession.
Nice. Those agent relationships. We preach that to guys all the time of, hey, if you're not staying top of mind or doing things with them or shouting them out, that's just another thing that could leave you in the dust if things go south or if someone else comes along.
Right. Cause I mean,
so I imagine go ahead.
I said agents. I mean, they're most important when it comes to yes, you have your clients, but your agents are who out there is going to push you when they have a client who you should be. We knock a lot of doors with agents just to keep the relationship in a good standing.
Do you guys do, fairly regular office visits or just kind of drop-ins?
We have been. Recently, we haven't done as many only because my wife was the one who usually does that, and she is currently pregnant, and she's due in October, so she's kind of stepped away a little bit.
Wow, congratulations, by the way.
Yeah, it'll be our third one, so it'll be different because it's a girl this time, and we have two boys, so we'll see.
Got to have two big brothers to look after. I like it. That is
right.
Like a good order for it to be in.
Right. And what we're doing, since she's not doing as much anymore, my father, mm-hmm. He is an inspector, but I asked him if he would start going out and kind of fill that void to be more of the person out there seeing the agents, going to associations, stuff like that. So
nice. That's good, though, because I think just having a presence there, right, I imagine is
right.
Key.
Yeah, I mean,
and so you guys have grown a little bit.
Yes, we have. We when I first came down, it was just, of course, my parents, and then it was me. About a year later, we added another inspector. Of course, he didn't work out, but we filled him with another guy who was already a previous inspector. who just didn't want to deal with the headache of owning his own business.
Right.
So as we hired him on. He's a great guy. So, and then we've actually just recently, probably in the last year to maybe 10 months, we added 2 more inspectors. So,
wow, that's great. Congratulations. What was the hiring process like for you? And what were some things that surprised you or that was challenging about it?
Down here, the hiring was definitely kind of nerve wracking only because there's so many inspectors out there.
right.
The problem down here, though, they can take the course, go get their license, and they're technically a home inspector, but they have no previous experience, have never even walked into a house to talk to a client or anything like that. So it gets kind of nerve-wracking to pick a person who's never really done something.
Right.
So,
I imagine.
Luckily, yeah, I mean, both the guys that we found who have no previous background, the one guy was in college and did some engineering, so it's kind of beneficial for that. He's had a lot of customer relations because he was working in the restaurant industry, so he had a lot of background with working with people, at least to have FaceTime with people and talking and stuff like that. The other guy that we have, we just hired him. Main reason we hired him is because he does speak Spanish. And of course, being in the South Florida market, there's a big industry for just Spanish-speaking people. So he's the main reason we hired him. And he's an older gentleman, but he's a very good go-getter. He's very intelligent. So pretty much he's working with us just to get the feel for everything, and then eventually he'll be out on his own.
Great. I can't help but feel like the FaceTime and interacting with people is kind of an underrated or not often talked about aspect with new inspectors, because it's kind of a customer service type business, right?
Right. And that's one thing I'm not sure how a lot of the single man guys do it, how they can physically work and make the time for FaceTime. So, I mean, because if you're not making office visits, I mean, you can only help so many clients. So it's just kind of weird how I think a single man team or a single man proprietor can go out and still do inspections and get the FaceTime in with all the realtors in the areas.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can't help but feel from my vantage point, we see a lot, obviously from our standpoint, is that a lot of guys get stuck in kind of that mildly successful range where it's like they're comfortable, they're doing a good amount of inspections, but they're not getting out and growing the business. And that seems like a choppy space to be in.
Right. Which that's where we've hit that point before too, because when it was just myself and then my parents, we didn't have anybody else. It was just us three. You hit that point where you're making enough money and you're doing enough inspections, but you're not really showing any growth or any kind of increase in revenue. So you've got to have that extra FaceTime or extra relationship that keeps that growing. And I mean, there's always new realtors. I mean, there's constantly realtors that are coming into the market, especially down here.
I think I read average 10 years, 3 years is what we usually tell the new classes at InterNACHI when we teach, is like 3-year tenure. So you can't rely on any batch of them, you know, because they're coming and going.
Well, yeah, we see, I mean, being in this business since the early 2000s, we still see realtors that, we've never even heard of you guys. We've been around. I mean, we've been in South Florida for quite a while. It's not like we're a new company. But,
yeah.
I mean, it happens. And we see some realtors who are definitely new, because you can tell how the whole process is going, that it's either their first time or it's just something they don't do on a regular basis.
And you may have to babysit them and help them do their job.
Right. And I mean, there's a lot of times where agents were like, really? I mean, how'd you guys get into this business if you don't even know how to get us into the gate? Because we have a lot of gate accesses down here for communities.
Right.
So.
Let's dive into that a bit. Have you seen any changes demographically speaking or behaviorally speaking with agents getting younger or millennial agents? Like, is there anything that's different that you're doing now that, say, you guys didn't do 15 years ago?
I mean, not really. I mean, down here, again, South Florida is a completely different market than everywhere else in the country. We have agents who are really young, and we have agents that are still fairly old. And we deal with both of them. But, I mean, there's some of the younger people that aren't very tech savvy, and there's some of the older people that are really tech savvy. So it's
true. That's true. Yeah, the individual.
So, I mean, it's just a weird market. I mean, in Florida, if you haven't seen it, you will see it. That's one of the things I've noticed being here.
I love it. So when you go into agent offices, everyone has different styles of what they do. Some guys are just great at winging it. Some go in with a presentation, like a Google Slides or PowerPoint. Do you guys have a formula, or is it just more of based on relationship?
We originally did try one of the programs that's offered through one of the other companies. We did that for a while, which it did was beneficial, but it gets kind of costly when you're going into agents' offices, offering them either candy dishes or something like that. That starts to add an expense, especially if you're going into 10, 15 offices over maybe every 2 weeks. That's a lot of money that you start to incur.
Right.
So we kind of scaled back on that and just we're going in based on relationships, either asking for a specific realtor or just going in asking for the broker, saying, hey, just wondering if we could come in, sit down and talk to you, or maybe go out and get lunch, stuff like that. Just trying to get more of a personal level. We have done presentations, but we've always done that after we've already got a foot in the door and we're saying, hey, we can come in and help you. Just want to give you a little bit more knowledge about our company or about other services or just about the industry in general.
Nice. I like it. And one thing we always tell the newbies in the class is to come in and provide some value on some level,
right,
teach them something or give them something they didn't know already.
Right. And that's one thing. We try not to go in and just keep talking about our company as a whole. We more or less want to let them know about other things that are going on, opportunities. And then at the end, we'll usually add in something about our company, some of our services that we offer, something like that.
Definitely. What do you find agents are telling you, or can you get a sense for what's most important to them? Because I was an agent for 6 years here in Denver, and I try to think back, obviously, of like, hey, during those presentations, what did I find most important? So I'm always curious what agents around the country say, oh, I care about scheduling online, or I just want to be able to text you, or I care about your reports. You get a sense for kind of what's important to them?
Most of the stuff that we hear down here about what's important is the deal killer, but I mean, we're here to do it.
Right.
I mean, we're here to do a job and we're working for the client. So we can't not report on things, even though they ask us not to. But the most important thing down here is more or less just customer service.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they want somebody when they call, they want to actually have somebody answer the phone, or if they leave a message, they want to be able to get somebody to return a call in a timely manner. I mean, that's one thing we do pride on, is we try to get everything taken care of as fast as we can.
That makes sense. And it's a sustainable brand. I mean, obviously, Spector has built kind of our name on customer service. And gosh, it's hard as hell, but it builds a brand, as you guys have seen probably yourselves.
Yeah, I mean, we had a call service, and we actually just did away with it only because, of course, we're trying to reduce some costs, but now we have somebody who's on call, so when we're at home, we have a cordless phone because we have VoIP phone, so it rings at the house, so they can actually answer the phone in real time and actually speak to the client or the agent.
Nice. Yeah, that's always an interesting topic, talking about call centers, just because I understand the value and the leveraging of someone else, but then there has to be some slip in kind of the personal touch and kind of like, oh,
right,
you're Joe Billings of Billings, you know, Home Inspection. So definitely understand that.
Yeah. I mean, we've had the call center was really good when we were not really fast paced, but as we've gotten more and more busy, it just seems like when you listen to the calls on the recording, they just don't cover everything that we feel they should be covering to try to close the sale or giving them the correct information, because they're in somewhere, I think the one we used was in Ohio. They don't understand what the market is in Florida. So it's just a different disconnect.
Yeah. A little education gap there.
Right.
When you say agents care about the deal killer, cause that's a common one. I hear that, you know, from all markets, how do you address that? Like, what's the dialogue like with agents?
I mean, most of the times because we have a few agents who bring it up, we're like, well, you got to understand that we're here for your client. So we have to let them know as much information as possible about a house. I mean, this is a house that they're coming into. They know nothing about. So, I mean, we're not trying to kill the deal. We're just trying to inform them or educate them on a property that they've never had any information about. So, I mean, that's the only thing I can think about when we talk to agents.
And I almost hate the phrase deal killer, because that implies that there's some playing on a certain side or subjectivity involved. And so it's like, as an agent, my job was like a fiduciary responsibility to do what's right for your client. And it's like, you guys are no different.
I mean, the issue we've noticed
goes away.
Yeah. We've noticed that there's I mean, it definitely depends on the agent, but there's some agents who they will only use us because of how thorough and how our reports mm-hmm. are. And then there's some guys that don't like it because they feel that we give too much information. But if we don't give that information, we have somebody calling us saying, oh, you didn't tell me about this. Oh, you didn't tell me about that. So that's why we do the way we do it.
You know, I don't know how many agents will listen to this, but I think that's just, it's ridiculous. And that, to me, that's a lazy approach. And that's the kind of the cliche of them not wanting to work harder and show more houses. And it's like, gosh, it's information. You guys aren't making this up.
Yeah. I mean, it's stuff that we are reporting on. It's not something we just pulled out of the air somewhere.
Right. We talked a little bit about Florida specifically. What do you have specific hurdles and challenges? I know there's great benefits to being down there with the volume, as you said, and other types of inspections. Are there any specific hurdles specific to Florida that you face?
Currently our largest hurdle that we feel is the flooded market with the inexperienced inspectors, because what they're doing is their rates are extremely low compared to the established companies that are here. Because the area that I'm in currently, there's four of us that are pretty successful companies. We all know each other. We all have communication. So, mm-hmm. and we all have had the same issues. There's guys out there that are doing full inspections with all the ancillary inspections and everything for like a quarter of what we're charging. So that's a huge, it's a difficult situation. And there's a lot of realtors that's what they want. They want the cheap guy because they think that they're giving their client a benefit by coming with somebody cheaper instead of someone who's going to be more thorough for them.
And because to me, yes, I agree. This is a huge problem. I see it in lots of markets. And I'm trying to think of how to bridge that gap or how to try, you know, is it purely education? Like these agents need to understand they're doing a disservice to their clients, or is it better marketing by you guys, by the ones that do provide that value? I don't know.
Most of the agents that come over with the price that want the cheaper person are either agents that are fairly new or agents that are just looking to close the deal because they're trying to get that income for that month.
Right.
But I mean, most of the agents down here that we do deal with are pretty good that we have relationships with. They could care less. They just tell their clients, here, this is who you need to call. Or they'll say, here's three of them. This is who I highly recommend. We're always going to have a cheap guy out there because, I mean, it's just the nature of the market. But there's some guys that are really much lower than what the market should be.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and as a new guy, sometimes they don't have the background or the other skills to really justify a higher price in their mind. But yeah, it's a fascinating dynamic.
Right. I mean, because our biggest thing that we always have an issue with is they're charging such a low price, but yet they're spending double the amount of time or triple the amount of time that somebody else would be spending out there. So what are they really bringing home, or what are they really making?
Right. I mean, so to me,
we've been fighting, or not fighting, but we've always had an issue with not having an apprenticeship for newer guys because Florida doesn't mm-hmm. require any of that. Just so they have if they have nowhere to go because they've never worked underneath of anybody, so they're out there on themselves, they're just winging it.
Just making it up as they go.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, at least if there was some type of program where they had to do an apprenticeship or at least work underneath of somebody to get the background, I mean, it would help tremendously.
You know, I'm glad you brought this up because I was having a conversation with another inspector, and yeah, he brought up the whole concept of thinking about what you're truly trying to provide as an inspector and either deliver that or don't and charge accordingly. So he's saying, guys are making 80-page reports, charging nothing, and basically losing money or breaking even. And he thinks as an industry, it's damaging because we can't advance and you guys can't charge really what you're worth when that low end is dragging it down. Is that
right? Because we have to get creative. We have to get creative with our pricing or how we're marketing when people call in, just to let them know the services that we're offering, to try to better sell ourselves compared to the cheaper person that's not going to give you A, B, C, and D where you're going to get it with us.
Right. Yeah, it's got to be a dance between getting creative with the pricing and then truly billing yourself and marketing yourself you know, as the premium experienced inspector. But like you said, some agents won't go for that because they just want to see the cheap number.
Right. I mean, one benefit we have that the agents definitely love, especially new agents, is that we have an inspection team more or less. So we always usually have at least two guys or more on an inspection.
That's huge.
And of course, the agents love it because it saves them time. They don't have to sit around as long. I mean, you have one guy who comes in, takes 4 hours, or two guys that come in and take an hour and a half to 2 hours. So, I mean, it's beneficial for them. So
I would have loved that as an agent. I was standing outside sweating half the time and just standing around. Yeah. I couldn't make conversation long enough with the buyers.
Right.
So yeah, it's brutal.
So, I mean, that's one thing we try to have. That's one of our biggest marketing point is the team inspections.
I love it. I love it. That's big, and that's something that, yeah, the single man shop just can't do. So that's, I think that's a good marketing point, something on the site maybe to have prominently.
Right.
But this is where I like talking to inspectors like yourself, because you guys have those kind of unique value propositions and those things that you can really go to when an agent says, why you, or, you know, why should we use you over someone else?
Right.
And that's what a lot of new inspectors just don't have. So speaking of new inspectors, I know you see with the price thing, what other mistakes do you see them making?
We don't see too much of what they've done because, I mean, we've went behind a few, and a lot of it down here is because of the wind mitigations. Where we have to go behind because either they didn't do the wind mitigation correctly or they just didn't fill out the form properly.
Gotcha.
But most of them, when it comes to the inspection side of it, we don't really see too much of if they did or do anything wrong because the agent's, of course, not going to call us and say, hey, we had this guy do this and he didn't do it right. Could you come back and look at it?
Right. Okay. Well, yeah, that makes sense. Shifting gears a little bit, do you keep an eye much? I know you guys, your market's a little unique, but do you keep an eye much on kind of the pulse of the real estate market nationally, but also South Florida? Or does it not matter because it's such a beautiful place and it's always going to be fine?
Not really. I mean, because we really don't have an up and down market. I mean, the only time we really slow down is actually right around school. When school's getting ready to start, we kind of do slow down them weeks right there before school starts. Other than that, I mean, it's pretty steady throughout the year with the actual market. There is a low inventory currently with what we're having because most of the houses that are affordable between that 250 to 350 range.
Yes. Yes.
Are usually gone or they don't last that long on the market. So that's the most issue. And then the most of the other houses are going to be 500,000 plus. And I mean, of course that's a small, very small minimal that people can afford for that. So,
right.
But down here, it's still not as, there's a lot more, I guess, income down here because we do have a lot more of the 500,000 plus houses down just in the area.
Do you guys get a lot of people waiving the inspection but still doing one, like waiving the contingency but still hiring an inspector, or is that not happening?
Most of the people that call do have an inspection period, so they're not waiving the actual inspection. We've had a few people who have called just for a wind mitigation. And we're asking them, well, why? They're like, oh, no, we're just not going to do the inspection. We're like, well, that's kind of, you're going to buy a property with no information. So why would you not just get the inspection? So I mean, it's very rare, but there are a few out there where we get calls that just want an ancillary inspection and not a full home inspection.
Gotcha. Yeah, I know out in Denver, it's the norm basically over the last 3-4 years to waive the contingency, but still get one. I always recommended people still get an inspection, but they completely blew it out of the contract, which blows my mind.
Now, usually the call that we get is, oh, I need to get in a home inspection. We ask them, well, what's your period? Oh, well, this is the last day that I have to get it done. Well, I had a 15 day contingent. Well, why'd you wait till the last day to do it?
Yep. Sounds about right.
Or we, for some reason down here, a lot of agents are writing in a 3-day contingency for the home inspection.
3 days?
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah, the sellers are requesting a 3-day inspection period.
That sets people up for failure. That's what that sounds
like
to me.
Well, it's still a seller's market down here still. So the sellers can pretty much do what they want when they're trying to sell their homes.
Fascinating. Very fascinating. Are you a big conference guy? There's kind of a couple conferences coming up. Have you ever been to a home inspection conference before?
We've been to the one in Dallas with Mike Crow. But since then, we haven't really had time to go out to do the other ones. I'm trying to get my father, Bill, to actually start doing a lot of those. That way he can get away and still see all that stuff while the business can still operate. So that's one thing I'm working on in-house to try to get done.
Nice. We'll be down in at the FABI conference, I believe, in December. So that'd be great if you guys made it up for that.
Yeah, definitely.
Looking at the industry as a whole, what other trends do you foresee or have seen when it comes to either technology, kind of just the way home inspectors are doing the report, delivering it, ancillary services, anything from your vantage point that you think not all inspectors might be seeing or hearing about?
There's still a lot of inspectors down here that we run into that still do not do reports on site, don't use tablets. They wait to go back to the office and complete everything, which I don't know how they could. I mean, I'd be pulling my hair out every night if I had to get back home and finish a report after I just did three inspections. I know when I first started, my parents were still using literally paper and clipboards to do the inspections, and we still had to go back to the office and finish them. I mean, you do three inspections a day, and then you still have to go back to the office because we had a policy that the reports had to be done. I mean, you'd be in the office till 7, 8, sometimes 9 o'clock at night, trying to get everything.
12-hour day, right? At least.
So, inspectors that aren't using any type of software that's done at the time of the inspection, they've got to be wasting a lot of time in the office just trying to go over everything.
Yeah, and we always try to push our, all inspectors, not just Spectorians, to look at their return on investment on their hours spent, because it's easy to lose track of that. I get it. It's like you want to deliver a product, something good, but if you made $300 and you spent 6 hours on it, 7 hours on it, you're eating into your efficiency.
Right. You don't have much profit left. I mean, even before we used Spectora, the company that we had, they weren't the most user friendly, but they still had a software based app that was, you could do on site and finish everything. So, all the companies are out there.
How do you balance it with client or agent interaction? Does it help having two guys there? What's that like when you are doing so much on site, but you got a client talking your ear off? How do you balance that? Or how did you learn to balance that?
I mean, coming from my background as a service manager, I mean, doing more than one thing at a time was always easy for me. I've always learned to focus with kind of listening to what they're saying, but still work on what I'm doing. I mean, we always have clients who want to follow you around and try to talk to you. I mean, we always try to tell them any questions you have or anything like that, just wait till the end because we're going to go over the report. And any questions you have, if we don't answer them, then you can ask them at that time.
Yeah.
Because clients can definitely get you sidetracked, especially if they're a first-time home buyer or somebody that's anxious or never really been through the process before.
Right. I imagine having kids and being married, we all learn to multitask maybe
definitely
listen a little while still doing something else. I'm not saying we don't listen to our wives. You can, there's active listening and then there's inactive listening. So I'll just leave it at that. And I think a lot of new inspectors dread that, trying to be personable while still seeing that defect, calling it out, naming it, making the comments, snapping the pictures, making the annotations. It's a lot.
That's one thing I've definitely built our report to where all the inspectors really have to do is when they see something, the comments are already there. They should be able to just click on it, take the picture, and they're done. It's not where they have to go through and enter anything or nothing like that. So, that's one thing we've definitely tried to make it easier for the inspector. While they're there, if they see something, it's easier just to click the comment. You don't have to worry about adding comments or altering any of the comments that are in there.
Nice. Probably makes your training learning curve a lot shorter, I imagine.
Yes, definitely.
Nice. You mentioned the flood of inspectors in your market. I imagine, I'm just thinking of training here, that hopefully that gives you a decent talent pool to maybe pick from for the guys that can't hack it on their own.
There's definitely some guys who have the construction background or have the knowledge to do the home inspections, but they still don't know where to start the business itself. They don't understand the whole process of it.
Right. Yeah, definitely not enough training out there. I know we try to put out a lot of resources on that, but you can only put out so much, to teach those softer skills or the business savvy.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like any industry. I mean, you can always learn the book side of it, but the actual hands-on being in front of people is a completely different atmosphere than what you actually think it is.
Right. Yep. I'm jumping all over the place here, but what's the craziest or scariest thing you've seen on a home inspection?
Well, we had one inspection. It was down in downtown West Palm Beach. The house was supposed to be vacant. Our one inspector walked in because we have a super key. So he went in, he comes back out. He's like, "Hey man, somebody's sleeping in the bed in the back here." I'm like, "What?" It's supposed to be empty. He's like, "Nah, dude, somebody's sleeping in the bed back here." So we called the agent, and he's like, "Nobody's supposed to be in there." I'm like, "Well, man, there's somebody in the back sleeping." He's like, "Well, don't go back in the house anymore. I'm calling the police. They're on their way." So we're standing there waiting. The cops pull up. They knock on the door. You see the blinds open up. You hear the door lock. Click, click. So the cop's sitting there some more knocking on the door. Finally, the guy comes out and he swears up and down that the owner of the house said he can be there and all this other stuff. So, of course, we wasted an hour and a half to 2 hours before we could do the inspection.
I mean, that's smart of the inspector to come out and be like, "Hey, right. I'm not touching that guy on the couch."
So we've also found some raccoons who bit some electrical wires and like to roll themselves up and electrocute and die up in the attic area.
Yikes. This might be a naive Colorado person question. Do you guys see like alligators down there? Do you get houses near the water?
Yeah, and you get houses near the water. You'll see them up on the banks. Usually when you walk close to the bank, though, they usually go under and they'll go away. They don't really bother you too much. Unless you're down close to the water, if they're not feeding, the only time you got to worry about them is during the mating season. But usually if they're on the bank, you stay away from them. If they're in the water, I mean, we don't walk down close to the water too much anyway.
I love it. I know you're a veteran down there. I love how nonchalantly you talk about alligators. I ask that and I'm all tense just asking you about it. I'm like, I would hate to see that.
Right. I mean, we see some crazy, I mean, there's critters galore down here. I mean, we see snakes, iguanas. I mean, there's lizards everywhere. So, I mean, everywhere you walk, it looks like there's something running on the ground because it's always a lizard. I mean, there's more, we're in the land of the bugs down here.
Oh, I know it. So one thing I'm curious about is kind of your take on what the future holds for our, just this industry in general, like whether you're talking about inspectors and technology or, you know, the data that's in reports or the way inspectors even operate with, you know, drones and so on and so forth. What are you looking out for? What do you think about the next couple of years, 5-10 years of this industry?
We're looking into using drones in our future, just because we have a lot of 3-story townhouses, stuff like that. So, I mean, that's definitely something I see as a big plus for inspectors, is to be able to use the drones for inspections. Right. It's a lot safer. I mean, single story homes, I wouldn't see using them, but anything that's a 2-story or a 3-story would definitely make it a lot better for inspectors, just for the safety aspect of it.
Yeah. And it's marketable. I mean, it's obviously a kind of a trendy, cool thing. So I think it's helpful and marketable. So I'm a fan of that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a good thing. It's just I think the whole licensing process for drones is a little far-fetched for what we need them for. I mean, the licensing program is more for someone who's going to be doing inspections on like radio towers, stuff that's 700-800 feet above the ground. I mean, we only need them for a house that's 2 stories, 3 stories. You don't need them for anything more than that. So I just think the licensing stuff is a little more difficult based on what we need them for.
Oh, you guys have to go through the same rigorous stuff as the people that use those. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Yeah. If anything that's commercial based has to have the license through the FAA, regardless of what it's for.
Wow. All right. Well, good luck getting that.
I mean, it's not that bad. I mean, me and one of the other inspectors have taken the online courses. We just have to take the time to take the test. But I mean, once you take the courses, it's not that difficult. It's just a lot of information that we're never going to use.
Right. 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 So. One thing I wanted to make sure to ask you about is that we always, you know, in the office, we talk about, you know, a handful of our inspectors that are just so helpful and they seem very open and giving to the community, and you're one of them. And so one, we appreciate that, appreciate you. What's your general take on that? Because not all inspectors share knowledge or share templates. Some of them kind of have that kind of more fear driven, like I'm not giving away stuff to my competition. But you've always been very helpful, and kind of what's your...
Right. I mean, that goes back on what I said. I mean, we deal with, there's four guys locally. They're my competition, but we still communicate with them. I mean, it's better to be open with people that do the same thing that we do, because why not help them? I mean, why hinder them? I mean, you need competition to even run a business, because if you have no competition, you're really not going to be able to be successful.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's one thing I've always believed in, even when I worked up north. I mean, there's no point in having a grudge or being negative towards my competition. I mean, because if I need help, why can't I call them and say, hey, we have an inspection we can't handle. Would you mind? Maybe you could take it. So, I mean,
yeah,
that's one of the reasons.
I love it. I'm a big like karma person, and I think putting good into the world and the negative right. energy that it wastes to just be worried all the time and anxious, I feel like can really impact people's lives, jobs, and
right.
just that overall mentality seems draining in a way.
Right.
Because, you know, I think there's been a lot of inspectors in our network that I've seen him comment on stuff you said. I've had even a few privately say like, oh yeah, that guy Billings, he's awesome. He's really helpful. And it's just really cool. So I think it helps elevate our industry, whether you know it's happening or not. But we see it. And I think it just creates a better industry of professionals, you know, that share knowledge.
Right. Right. I mean, that's where I come from too. I mean, I've always tried to be a professional at what I do. I mean, and trying to down somebody or try to hide information from bodies, not really being professional, because I mean, I'm here to help them if they need it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and you're on this podcast and like, you know, there's a reason why I thought of you and I'm like, okay, who would be a good guest to have on here? And it's partly because of those things. And so I think, you know, when you look on the forums and stuff, I think a lot of inspectors could take a page out of your book and others like you.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
So what, anything, you know, we got a couple minutes left here. I want to respect your time. Is there anything you wish I would have asked you, or anything that you think kind of, you know, just needs to be discussed while we're shooting it here?
The only thing I wish is that you guys would do the 4-point for me to make it a PDF.
We'll take feature requests live on a podcast. I love it.
I mean, other than that, I mean, I think, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I mean, I pretty much think you covered everything. I mean, there's nothing that I could foresee that would make any difference or anything like that. I mean, you covered pretty much all the stuff that I think you should have.
Well, you guys keep cranking along. For anyone that wants to get a hold of you, is the best place just to go to your website. I can link to that in the description of the podcast for anyone that wants to kind of check out. Cool. We'll put the link in the description for you guys if you do want to get in touch. Hopefully you don't get a flood of new inspectors asking you how to become successful.
No, I mean, most of the guys that do reach out are just asking about the report and the template, because I've done quite a few of the guys have asked about the template and actually thanked me for it. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and we appreciate that as well, just sharing that knowledge. So. Well, all right, Joe, this has been fun, man. I really appreciate it. Best of luck to you coming into fall and winter. And we'll be talking to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Kevin.
All right.
All right.